following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Doug Dudamani Kratzenstein has found a little time to slide in and co-host with us on today's program. We're going to talk, obviously, Husker football. It is also Fantasy Football Thursday. Luke Hoover of RotoWire will be answering all your fantasy football questions. So tweet us, email us, Facebook us. We will ask Luke your questions and get you the answers for this weekend, including tonight's game with the Falcons and the Buccaneers here on ESPN Radio. Also with Nebraska-Miami Week, George Sedano, big Miami Hurricane guy, went actually to Florida International, big Hurricane guy, host of Sedano and Stink that airs weeknights here on ESPN Radio. So we'll bring a national perspective in and look at the Miami side of things. And he's a little younger than us, Monty. I think he was, if I got it figured right, seven. When we went for two, and back then I can say we because that was just a kid in high school rooting for that. But we'll get his thoughts on where Nebraska-Miami is. And coming up in just a few minutes, Andy Hoffman is going to join us. He has a very busy day. It is the second annual Team Jack Radiothon, which is currently airing on our sister station, The Breeze 94.5 FM. And it's everything that you would think. Anybody that has followed Jack Hoffman and Team Jack and everything that's went on here over the last couple of years knows the story. They know everybody that's on board, the Rex Burkheads, the Indomitian Sioux, and on and on and on. And they've got a lot of great interviews. They're raising money for a pediatric brain cancer. It started this morning. They're going till 6 o'clock tonight, and they're giving away a lot of great gifts, a lot of autographed items. There's some Brian Dunsing, Alex Henry, Taylor Martinez, Coach Bo Pelini, obviously, Eric Crouch, Rex Burkhead, Danny Woodhead, and Tom Osborne, and a couple of Bo Pelini things in there as well. So we'll talk with Andy, get the latest on Jack and what a day like this means to him and his family, because obviously when you get to this stage, Monty, it's a much bigger deal than about what's going on with just the Hoffman family.
Oh, and it's become such a big deal. I listened to that on the sister station on the way in, and so impressive. Big names, just an incredible amount of awareness, and, you know, it's amazing how it has grown. I'm anxious to talk to Andy. I've never met him before. I'm anxious to talk to him and ask a few questions of how things are going and what's next.
Atkinson boy, that's where they are all from, of course, and we'll talk about that. Maybe he can give us a scouting report on West Holt.
He might.
How the Huskies are doing.
I'm sure he'll give a good one.
Well, let's while we have some time, because I know it's going to be jam-packed, I want to kind of jump right into where you think Nebraska is right now and your thoughts on Miami week. I've kind of went, and some people have disagreed with me a little bit. I think the atmosphere is still going to be really good Saturday. I think it's going to be great Saturday because it is the biggest home game, because the conference games are not big. So everybody's been planning, if you're going to go to a game, a big game, mm-hmm. you know, and be part of, even if you don't go to game, just go to Lincoln to party or hang out in the atmosphere. This is the game, and it's a night game, and yada, yada. But I don't think the luster, when this was announced, you're thinking, oh, yeah. You knew Miami was in a down cycle at the time, but it just, on the field, doesn't seem to have the same luster to me, even though ESPN's national radio will be on hand there on Saturday.
You're right. Yeah. You know, when you think of Nebraska, Miami, us old guys we talked about before we got on air, we think about you know, the old days of the Nebraska Miami. It isn't that. Yeah. But it still is Miami. It still feels different. It's a lot better. You're right about being the game of the year, especially the non-conference schedule, because the non-conference schedule was a little bit weaker than what many of us wanted. This is the game that everybody's pinpointing. I'm as excited as can be. I don't care too much about the national luster and those sort of things. I just kind of worry about my own little world. And it's Miami week, and I'm excited.
We don't want to be playing Oregon this week like we will in a couple of years. I'll tell you that. We're not at that point yet. But I think it'll be exciting, and obviously it'll be a lot more fun if Nebraska just takes care of business and gets the win and is 4-0 in non-conference for a rarity here lately.
Yeah, I'm interested because both teams are interesting teams to me. How good is Miami? You know, some of the pundits say Miami is not very good, not a good football team. You hear that a lot. I know this. They got great athletes. They got incredible athletes. How good is Nebraska? We've talked about that. You've talked about that. Do we really know how good Nebraska is? Again, I don't care how good Nebraska is going to be. I don't want to. I want to be 1-0 this week. I want to see us good enough to beat Miami and be 4-0. And what, as you said, it's been a while since we've been 4-0. Then we can go about the next thing. And maybe that's coach speak. Maybe that's just the
that sounds like the old player coach coming out right there.
I can't help it. I just hate looking ahead. That's one of the bad things about the 4-team playoff is I get so tired of hearing about the 4-team playoff already. Doesn't matter. You know, let's worry about this week. And if there's some great games this week, Nebraska, Miami being those very intriguing interregional sort of a matchup, and let's enjoy it.
I like the playoff talk because it gives us something else to debate. I mean, I get you what you're saying.
Well, I only come in here once every week or two, so I don't have to fill time.
Well, and it's interesting to me that even the national pundits on a weekly basis, a nightly basis, when they're recapping Saturday night, they're pretty different. They'll have a couple the same, and then, you know, to have Florida State on the outside right now looking in, most people think that, and I find that shocking, although I think Clemson's going to give them more than they want on Saturday night.
Well, give me your opinion, and maybe you've said it too much already or enough already, but give me your opinion on this. You know, we came out as a, whatever, 8-point favorite, you know, 7, 8 mm-hmm. point favorite right in there. It's stayed pretty firm. You feel that's right?
Midweek here, we're just heading into Thursday, and we'll find out a little bit more over the next 36 hours. But my gut tells me this is going to be a lower scoring game. Mm-hmm. Thus, the spread would seem legit. I mean, I'm trying to think of what my prediction is going to be tomorrow. I think Nebraska wins. I mean, I'm in that 24-13 range right now. But if Miami hits a couple of big plays, then I think Nebraska has to answer, and everybody's kind of been worried about that. That's all they can do is hit big plays here recently. But I think it's fair. It's Nebraska still, we're still don't know. We still don't know. The interesting thing is how bad the defenses are that Nebraska's played and McNeese State. Oh. But the talent thing that you were talking about, and I want to go back to that for a moment. Mm-hmm. Steve Sipple yesterday at the Lincoln Journal Star at our Husker lunch at Cunningham's threw out an interesting stat. He's not a big snap monger, but he did throw this out. I believe the year was 2010, and I might be off one or two, but you'll get the gist here. Since 2010 in recruiting, Miami of Florida has 26 four-star recruits and 3 5-stars. Hmm. Nebraska has 23 four-star recruits. Now, they don't have a 5-star, but talent-wise, they're close, and like Sip said, they don't have anybody that compares to a Randy Gregory on their football team.
Right. When you talk about those stars, I would like to see that breakdown a little bit because I might be wrong, but I'd venture to guess that the majority of their 4 and 5 stars are in the skill positions and ours aren't.
Yeah, right.
And you know, that's a difference, again, in maybe geography and the availability of those type of players. You mentioned it before. You know, I had three. I always try to come up with two or three keys to the game. And you mentioned big plays, which is so interesting because Nebraska, if you look at the statistics, which, again, are warped because of competition, Nebraska is the big play offense. But it goes back to this. If we make Miami drive the field and not have the chunk it down the field, our chance of winning are a lot bigger. You know, conversely, you know, I bet you they're saying the same thing. Make Nebraska drive the ball down the field, because we haven't – we've had long yardage drives, but they consisted of about three, four, five, six plays, and because we've chunked it. And so that's kind of an interesting dynamic between those two defenses and what those defensive coaches are talking about regarding the other offense.
Doug Dudamani Kratzenstein with you on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Another interesting tidbit yesterday from Sipple at the Husker Lunch is we've been talking about Duke Johnson. They've got the freshman quarterback who's done okay. Now, they played Arkansas State last week, and I think Arkansas State is already a long way removed from a conference champion where they were a couple of years ago in a Nebraska opponent. But Duke Johnson is the man that is going to have to carry the load. And he says he would be shocked if Johnson was held under 100 yards rushing against Nebraska. So I guess don't get freaked out. But he says this is a guy that could get 200. He goes, if he gets 200, Nebraska's in trouble. He goes, I think Nebraska can live with him rushing for 150 yards in this game. Very rarely have I ever seen a statement where a guy can go for that kind of yardage and they don't win the football game.
He's that talented. To me, it goes in a combination with if he gets 150, but then a receiver gets 100, then that's trouble. You know, he can get 150, and if we keep one of their receivers or passing game down, quarterbacks, you know, are a huge part of this game, because, you know, they're starting a freshman quarterback who's not great, but if he can throw a short pass and let one of those guys bust loose, or if he can hand the ball off to Duke Johnson and take some of the pressure off him and not force him to make plays, you know, he's going to be a lot better off. That's Tommy Armstrong. If Tommy Armstrong doesn't have to make plays, if he, use every cliche you want, stays in the context of the offense, if he manages the game well, doesn't turn the ball over, again, he's a lot more effective, because he can run the ball a little. You know, his running game at Nebraska's running game has been so much better this year at quarterback with him there.
One thing that's also going to be big, I think, Monty, is special teams. Both teams have a very good punter. Fultz getting the job done, and Justin Vogel does it for Miami. They're both in the top 10 in the country right now and both leading their conference in net punting. And Nebraska, obviously, last year, that would have been a big red flag, because their punt game, as we all know, was really bad. not so much right now, anyway.
If it's 2 or 3 weeks ago and you said it was going to come down to special teams, I would have said, uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's not the way it is right now. I mean, you know, one game does not make it from the return side, but Sam Fultz has been consistent. Our coverage teams have been consistent. I like our chances the way it's been so far.
You take a look just statistically, and remember, they've lost to Louisville, which was a second-half, fourth-quarter kind of a pull-away for Louisville, and then Florida A&M and Arkansas State at home. So their schedule, the A&M and Arkansas State, kind of comparable to what Nebraska's played. Obviously, Fresno State doesn't match up to what Louisville did. But what they're good at, rushing defense, total defense, as we mentioned, the punting, and sacks. And so they do put some pressure in the backfield, and we sure haven't seen, as everybody's clamoring for the screen pass to Amir Abdullah. Oh, my God. The offense seems to be doing okay, and they don't have they can't run every play in the book.
This isn't Miami of the 80s or of the early 90s and whatnot, but they won't be intimidated. I mean, that's just not in their nature. That's not in Al Golden's nature. That's not in their nature. So, but it's a night game in Lincoln against a big opponent. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I mean, for a fan. Like that stance.
So he'll get the handoff. It is Hoffman. Hoffman to midfield.
He's got another gear.
They are not going to catch him. Jack Hoffman to the end zone. Husker touchdown.
Of course, that was the audio from the Big Ten Network a spring ago when, if you didn't know who he was, you knew who he was then. Jack Hoffman became national news for getting to play in the spring game and run the touchdown. Of course, Nebraska fans and natives of the state of Nebraska knew much more by the time that happened. And Doug Duda, along with former Husker Monty Kratzenstein, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. On this second annual Team Jack Radioathon Day, we are pleased to welcome to the program his father, father, Andy Hoffman, who I think probably 3 years ago never imagined that he would have as many interviews and as much media presence as he has had. And I'm sure he would gladly give it all back to just have a quiet home life there in Atkinson. And Andy, we appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show on this busy day. Good morning. How is the Hoffman family?
Good morning, and thank you so much for having us on. We just really appreciate it.
Andy, how's things going so far? Our sister station, The Breeze, we're going wall-to-wall with the Radiothon today. Take me through how the morning's going.
You know, it's really been an amazing morning. You know, this is the second annual Radiothon, and last year's Radiothon was great, but the support for this year's event has been outstanding on the radio station side. We're so thankful for all of your station support, and statewide, we've got about 20 stations. We've done, I think, a better job of promoting it this year. And I think on the interview side, a lot of national celebrities and local celebrities and doctors and a lot of the other brain tumor families have all, stepped up and are helping with this thing. And I think it's making a huge difference. And the phones just keep kind of ringing off the hook down here.
Andy, it's Monty Kratzenstein here. I just, we haven't met. I just want to express my appreciation for you and what you and your family represents. We all know have families that we know that are involved in this, and your awareness has just been that you create is amazing. My question to you is this: on the Jack side, does he have any idea how big of a deal he is? I mean, we us fathers of sons, does he have any idea how big a deal it is?
I don't think he does. We always tell people, you were talking earlier about, all the interviews and stuff. You don't move to Atkinson, Nebraska because you want to be on national TV or because you want to be a celebrity. You move there because of the value system. It's rural Nebraska, and it's where we're from, and it's who we are. And that's how we've tried to keep it for Jack. When Jack's not treating, he's in school with everybody else in Atkinson, and, we've been very, the school's been really good about, making sure he's just like everybody else. He gets better treatment and probably more special attention when he comes down to Lincoln on a Saturday for a Husker game than when he goes to school on a Tuesday. And that's just how we want it. And that's really, I think, kept Jack, from really, I think, understanding his role in all of this. But, the thing we always say is, Jack's, he's got a long road in front of him, but he's still blessed. There are so many kids, we look around, there are so many kids battling this disease that either A, don't get to survive the disease, or B, they've survived it, but they can't run a 69-yard touchdown, but they can't even walk. And so, that's the message, is that, this disease, for the survivors of it, it leaves a trail of debilitating lifetime effects. And we think the public needs to know about that. We think the public needs to know about the other families that have gone through this. Because there's this is about pediatric brain cancer, the leading childhood cancer cause of death, and it's not about how much media attention one little boy from some small rural community in outstate Nebraska can garner. It's about trying to draw national attention to this disease, and if we got to use the story, and the blessings that have flowed from the run and the relationship with Coach Pelini and Burkett, then that's the platform. That's the platform God's going to give us, and that's what we'll use. But it's truly about the disease.
And are there days when your family just thinks, God, wouldn't we like to just be left alone and not have to be in the spotlight and kind of go through this battle on our own? Are there days like that?
Oh yeah, I mean there are. It does get to be quite a bit, but. We kind of feel like we feel like we owe it to the disease, and we owe it to those other families that aren't given the kinds of blessings. The blessings have just flowed. I mean, they've just been showered upon Jack and our family in terms of meeting President Obama and the Upper Deck sports card and some of the media coverage. And you sit back and you look and you say, okay, What's the point to all of this? And, for us, the point is to use it as a platform for the disease and to try to continually keep the focus on the disease. By my wife and I, we talk a lot about this, and by really keeping that as our focal point, we have such a hate for this disease and how it terrorizes kids. You know, frankly, I don't know if I'll ever run out of energy fighting pediatric brain cancer.
We're talking with Andy Hoffman here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Being a native of Ord, Andy, I thought the reason anybody moved to Atkinson was for the nice golf course. Is that not the case?
I suppose you could go play golf, or you could do what Jack and I do, which is go hunt bucks and fish walleye.
See, now there you go. That's right up your alley, Monty.
There you go. That's reason enough right there.
I want to know, and of course everybody has heard the most recent battle. We know that you and your family had to go back out to Boston, I believe it was, on the East Coast. Simply put, how is Jack?
He's doing really well. For a kid who's been through two brain tumor surgeries and now a second round of treatment, you know, he's doing a lot better than what a lot of kids are in his shoes. So, you know, clinically, he's doing fantastic. What we don't know, though, is whether or not his brain tumor is responding to the treatment. He's been on this clinical trial for about 4 or 5 weeks, and we'll find out in later October, the results of his first follow-up MRI. And that, I think, is going to give us a good indication of how he's responding. You know, and that kind of ties into the radiothon, actually. You know, Jack is participating in a national clinical trial. This does not happen. This treatment is not available if people 5 years ago didn't say, hey, I want to invest in childhood cancer research. It's because of those investments that there's even this therapy available. This genetic mutation that Jack has was found in a laboratory at Harvard Medical School. And that laboratory is funded by family foundations like Team Jack. And so without this funding, that doesn't happen. This treatment doesn't happen. Jack's not on this clinical trial.
Folks, one of the many interviews that you'll hear throughout the day, if you haven't already heard it on the radiothon that goes till 6 o'clock tonight, is Dick Vitale. And I hope to play as much of that here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we can at the end. Everybody said that is working out of the home base there in Lincoln that it was probably overall the best, and Dick has some specific stories. And again, Andy Hoffman with us for just a couple minutes, and we got to let him get back to his day because it's so busy. But Andy, now we have another story with Devin Stills, Cincinnati Bengals, his daughter kind of going through that. What do you think when you see other folks and you see that again, here it is getting national attention from everybody across the country?
I think it's awesome. You know, the more awareness and attention that's drawn to pediatric cancer and pediatric brain cancer, the better. People need to know about the huge gap in funding for these diseases. Less than 4% of all federal dollars spent on cancer research go to pediatric cancer research. So every dollar that Uncle Sam spends on research, only 4 cents goes to pediatric cancer research, let alone pediatric brain cancer research. When you consider the fact that there's only 4,000 kids a year diagnosed with pediatric brain cancer, large pharmaceutical companies, big drug companies, they don't have any incentive to spend money on research and development, new therapies. And so there's this huge gap, and that gap, that research is funded by foundations, by private foundations, by families affected by the disease. And so when you have stories like Devin Stills come out to light, and all these other amazing stories. And some of these families are, you know, that's the great thing about the radiothon today is you're going to hear from almost, I think, around 10 Nebraska brain tumor families that are impacted by the disease. And our books, they're all stars. They all deserve the same attention that Jack's story has gotten. They all deserve the same attention that Devin Stills' daughter has gotten, because all of these kids together, they're all stars. None of them better than the other.
One more question I've got for you, Andy, before we kind of wind things down here. When we think of, and we've got some great things here in our community in Kearney with a St. Jude telethon and radiothon, when you think of ill children, sick children, you think of Ronald McDonald House, you think of St. Jude, and I know I'm leaving some other things out. There's nothing that they can do to help, or is there some help from those spots for you and your family as well, or is this a totally separate thing?
Well, you know, our focus is on research, and everybody has a little bit different focus. You know, St. Jude's, God bless them, they do a lot of great things. But, you know, part of that funding goes towards actually running their hospital. Ronald McDonald House, great organization. That goes towards, putting families up as they go through the treatment process. You know, everybody has a role in this fight, and we like standing side by side with those organizations, not competing with, but, you know, making the pie bigger. And the thing that we're zeroed in on the research side of it, and I think that's largely because nobody else is in this country, and it just seems like and you talk to a lot of the families affected by something like pediatric brain cancer, they're all zeroed in on research because they've been told by a doctor that your son or daughter is going to have to take a chemotherapy regimen that's been around for 30 years. And oh, by the way, it could cause neuropathy, it could cause kidney failure, but don't worry about that. That won't happen until they're in their 20s. Yeah. And so when you hear those kinds of things, it gets you pretty fired up to fund research. And so that's where our focus is at. And we do work with a lot of great other research foundations. Right now, we've committed $300,000 to a $1.5 million clinical trial with two other foundations, and this clinical trial is getting ready to start. That clinical trial doesn't happen without Team Jack, and it doesn't happen without those other two foundations. And so it's been a real honor getting to stand side by side with other foundations in other geographic areas across the United States, and really just working together and being on the same team.
Well, Andy, we really appreciate listening to you. You're very articulate, even for a guy up in that Atkinson area. I know a lot of guys, and you guys have got to be the smartest people up there in that town.
Well,
I'll tell you.
And it gets worse than that because I'm the son of a pig farmer from Spencer, Nebraska, so I'm even more rural than Atkinson.
Well, we appreciate how you've come off so many different places in the national media, what you've done for Nebraskans and pediatric cancer. It's just been a great deal. What about game plan?
It's kind of the other way around. What Nebraska's done for us has been amazing. And Kearney, you mentioned Kearney earlier. That is a city that has just crushed it for Team Jack. They have bought more Team Jack shirts than probably any other community in the state. They bought, Kearney Olympics a few years ago supported, last summer gave a pile of donations to Team Jack. And so, we cannot thank the community of Kearney enough for their overwhelming support of this cause. And it really, and I've got two daughters that were born in Kearney. So Kearney is one of those cities that is always going to hold a special place in our heart.
Well, Andy, hopefully it's a great day. Hopefully everything here in the near future, test-wise, comes back just like you'd want it for Jack. And the whole state, as you know, is behind you, so that you're not fighting it on your own. And I think that's number one there, because it's a big burden, and what you guys are doing is outstanding. We appreciate you giving the Doug and Daddy Show some time today, and hopefully there'll be some smiles this Saturday night with you guys in Lincoln.
Thank you so much for having us on. I really appreciate your support.
Take care,
855-RUN-JACK. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Andy. 855-RUN-JACK. Yeah, I wanted to get that in there. And 855-RUN-JACK for donations. You can, again, join us all day long on the Breeze 94.5 FM as the second annual Team Jack Radiothon is going on. And we've had a switch here, by the way, in our guest, George Sedano. Maybe if you're watching TV, you're going to see him on the network. He was supposed to join us here in about 5 minutes. We've had to switch him to the top of the hour. So we'll be going a little bit long today because he can go strictly or at the top of the hour at 12 noon, and hopefully that is right on time. So we'll have a little bit of that Dick Vitale interview for you. We've got Luke Hoover to answer your RotoWire questions as well at approximately 11:40. So stay with us for that. Email us, tweet us, and Facebook us your fantasy football questions. And speaking of cancer closer to home, the 8th annual Elizabeth Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run is coming up a week from Sunday. That's Sunday, September the 28th. It's at Yanny Park, a 5K run and walk at 5 o'clock. The Kids 1 Mile Fun Run is at 6 o'clock, and you can find out more information, contact the folks there at the Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run. Kearney Catholic can help you out. The Bushcutter family is in charge this year, so Randy's got some information here for me as well. And come out and honor, celebrate Lizzie's life and support the school she loved at the same time. Register today to get going. You can have a family package as well. Everybody gets a shirt, the 5K run and walk, and 1 mile fun run. The entry fee is $15, or you can get a deal on a family package if you got a big family. So event day pickup, September 28th, 4 to 4:45. Then the run starts at 5 o'clock for the 8th annual Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run. We will take a break. Be back with more Doug Dudemoney-Kratzenstein on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Listen, just wanting to lose weight for summer isn't going to get you into that killer bikini shape. You've got to make it happen. There's no better or faster way to do it than with Complete Nutrition. Don't wait another second. Get into Complete Nutrition today to get over that weight loss hump. Our consultants will help you find the perfect weight loss product to kickstart your workout and to have more energy, burn more fat, and get into perfect shape for summer without logging extra hours at the gym. Come on, summer's here. So what are you waiting for? Check out any one of the three new weight loss products available now at Complete Nutrition. They're clinically proven to shrink fat cells and help you safely lose 21 pounds and burn difficult abdominal fat 12 times faster than with just diet and exercise alone. So don't wait. Come into Complete Nutrition and get started today.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663. And in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see lingering low cloud cover and some fog around the area early on yet today. Otherwise, we'll see some breaks of sun possible later this afternoon with a high of 73, southeast wind stay at 10 to 15. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 68.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. On a Thursday, the Kearney Chicken Coop is a great place to go have lunch any day of the week. The Kearney Chicken Coop has the best of both worlds, the original sports bar and grill in downtown Kearney, where lunch specials are served daily from 11 to 4. And, of course, you can pick up a great appetizer specials in the afternoon from 2 until 5:30 for only 2 and a quarter. Long necks and draws for $2.25. Bring the family in. Bring the friends in. Just relax for yourself. Watch some great football tonight. Auburn, Kansas State on the collegiate side. Tampa Bay, Atlanta on the NFL side. Or Major League Baseball pennant race heating up as well. There's always cold beverages and your favorite food, whether it's an appetizer, a burger, salads, or the lunch special, each and every day from 11 to 4. Open 7 days a week, the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. The best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. Doug Duda, along with Monty Kratzenstein on today's program, as we get ready to honor the 94 National Championship team on Saturday night. Your memories?
I've heard of those guys. We all remember where we were when we were watching those guys win the first national championship for Coach Osborne.
And then on the other side of things, what do you think about our ding-dong Jameis Winston?
Ding-dong.
Yeah. I mean, that's just being a ding-dong.
Times 100.
Is he doing what every college kid does or did and wasn't a part of social media 10 years ago, 5 years ago? I mean, all this, which is all not good, 5 years ago, wouldn't be where we are today, and that's why we advance as a society, blah, blah, blah. We can go on for a whole, I don't want to get deep into this, but I'm saying that 10 years ago, when you played, this would have never even been brought up. Now Winston is in trouble, and it's not the only time he's been in trouble, and he's following the Johnny Manziel path, it seems like to me.
There's no way in the world I'm ever going to defend him and his actions. Multiple actions. I mean, you can say, and I agree with you at this point. Are things that much worse in society, in the NFL, and in college athletics than they were 10, 20, 30 years ago? I don't know that they are. Are we just more aware of them? Absolutely we are. But that's the world we live in. Are you kidding me? God, I mean, are you kidding me? Just don't be an idiot. I mean, is what he did, being profane in a public forum like that, is that, to some people, that big a deal? Is it a punishable offense as far as suspensions? Well, probably not. But my gosh, how many of these do you have to put up with before you say enough's enough? I just have no respect and have no tolerance for that sort of thing. And it isn't, and I guarantee, it isn't like nobody has told him this. It isn't like Jimbo hasn't sat him down and said, hey, buddy, let's think about this a little bit. They have multi-million dollar program there that to educate him.
Sorry, something else in totally. Go ahead. Sorry. I threw you totally off your train of thought.
No, but they have an incredible amount of resources available to educate these young men. Mm-hmm. Just don't be an idiot.
Yeah, the stupid things. You steal crab legs. You think you're not going to get caught. You jump on a table and make these comments extremely loud. You think you're not going to... Okay, so there you go. You'll hear more about that, obviously, as the day moves on national-wise.
We probably need someone that will take his side so we can have a more riveting argument. But you and I are kind of on the same side of this.
I think everybody's on the same side of this one.
I would hope so.
Nebraska volleyball not looking good right now. I don't know that that's a big deal. They're ranked 9th in the country. They didn't look good last night, and the stats pointed out it was the lowest that they've hit, 134 kill percentage. It's the lowest they've ever hit in a match that they've won in the John Cook era. Creighton comes out, takes the first set. As Cook said on Monday, you probably figure this match means more to Creighton than it does to Nebraska, but you got to be careful. Creighton was a preseason top 25 team. It's not like they don't have talent, but Nebraska University should have way more than they do. And that, I think the one senior on the team is starting to prove here that the youth is showing a lot more this year. You had Robinson to cover for the Rolfson twins, who were true freshmen last year. You don't have that this year. This team has got to grow a lot more. I think Coach Cook knows that too. I don't think a lot of things he's been saying have been building up to next year and maybe the year after, going to Omaha playing the CenturyLink, because they know that the national championship's right around the corner and that could help them playing there. Next year they'll, I believe they go to Texas, if I'm right. No, they're in that four-team tournament with Texas. They'll be playing more road games. They got all the big names at home this year. But they've got a lot of growing to do, and that showed last night.
When you watch them, you just wonder how many true, I don't even want to say All-American players they have. I'll say true All-Conference players they have, or potential All-Conference players they have. You're right in the fact that he knows exactly what he has, and he is a master of getting the most out of what he has. He is not going to say, you know what, next year is probably our year, not this year. He's not going to say that. But there's this fine line between saying we're going to, here comes the week-to-week thing again, Doug. You know, we're going to try to get better. We're going to prepare ourselves for the Big Ten season, which is as tough of a road as in there is in the country, and we'll just get better.
He does show his emotion a little bit, and I can relate to this because he will, if you watched on the camera last night, like during timeouts, he doesn't, when he's standing on the sideline, he doesn't show a lot of emotion, arms crossed and watching the match and doesn't get crazy, but he'll call a timeout, and one of them, he kneels down, he doesn't sit on a chair, he kneels down, and you can just see that once, on one of the timeouts, he just threw his hands out to his side as if to say, what are we doing? What am I missing here? You know, like, you're making the same, you know, you could just see a coach thing there. And that's how he gets his, he'll roll his eyes, he'll drop his shoulders, he'll raise his voice, he'll communicate with them a lot during the timeouts.
One of the things he does so well is he knows when, what buttons to push. And most great coaches do know that, you know, when you yell, when you, you know, cross your arms and when you're more stoic, he'll get them to the, he'll get them to where they need to be. Are they going to be in that Final Four at the level that maybe we're used to? I don't know, but he'll get them where they need to be.
One of the biggest shockers if they beat Texas at home on Saturday. Texas at Nebraska, number 2 at number 9 in college volleyball at the Devaney Center at 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. High school volleyball tonight live on Classic Hits. Kearney Catholic at Centura. Both were ranked in the top 10. Of course, the Stars, the defending two-time state champion. 7:15 approximate start after the JVs on Classic Hits 98.9. Also in the Tri-Cities tonight, Hastings at Holdridge, Donovan Trumbull at Adams Central. Aquinas is at St. Cecilia. Central Catholic is at Gothenburg. There's Triangulars at Axtell, Bertrand, Broken Bow, Franklin, Heartland Lutheran, and Overton. Central Catholic at Gothenburg. You going? Top 10 matchup. Or are you going to be? You probably
I was already there early at about 6:20 this morning. I was in Gothenburg. I probably won't make my way back there. Although the T. Reeves show is kind of worth watching. That's worth driving to see that. And also there's a freshman that they've got playing that's also pretty good. So they got good talent there.
And a huge deal over there Saturday. Gothenburg, Kearney Catholic, Minden, of course, were in the state finals last year, and Hershey over there for a round-robin tournament that's going on Saturday, and it'll be well done before football, probably even done before UNK kicks off.
Your opinion on this one, Wills, when will Kearney Catholic get a real test?
Well, they'll get a test on Saturday. Minden is a little injured, and I know they would like that to be more of a test, and maybe Minden will be ready to go and win the game on Saturday. I don't know, but Gothenburg may actually, with Reeves, give them a player that they haven't seen before. They do have North Platte on their schedule for the final game of the regular season, a Class A school that is undefeated right now, so they'll definitely, and anytime they play St. Paul, that's the puppy that nips at your heels. It used to be the other way around. St. Paul had won it for so many times at conference, and Kearney Catholic was nipping at their heels. Now, the last few years, it's been the other way around, but that's a little bit of high school talk there for you. We're going to take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Luke Hoover of RotoWire is going to join us to answer your fantasy football questions. Folks, don't forget that Midway is expanding and they want to push their Midway Careers website at MidwayCareers.com. MidwayCareers.com. No experience needed. They'll train you if necessary. If you're looking to make a change in your career, Midway is there for you. They're growing and seeking motivated and enthusiastic individuals, and that is for all parts of their jobs. So check it out at the specific website, MidwayCareers.com. You can always check out more about what's going on at the Midway Auto Dealership at ThinkMidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. And we'll be back after this.
It's third down and 6, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. 5.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a $100 Visa gift card. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, when you call now, Prairie iNet will install your system for free. That's a $99 value, a $100 Visa gift card, and free installation just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts or illnesses,
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 1 till 8. Saturday and Sunday, 11 till 5. Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where don't forget to get signed up each and every week for the Doug and Daddy Cunningham's Journal Fantasy Football Challenge. All you have to do is go to ESPNSuperstation.com, log in your team each and every week. It doesn't have to be the same all year long, and each week we give away a $25 gift card to the winner to Cunningham's, and the winners are there entered into a drawing for the year-end Super Bowl party, and make sure to watch all of your football at Cunningham's.
It's time for a fantasy football update with fantasy football expert Luke Hoover of RotoWire.com. Send in your fantasy football questions now and let Luke guide your fantasy team to a championship.
It is Luke Hoover of RotoWire answering your fantasy football questions. Email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, or you can always Facebook us. Luke, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How you doing?
Well, I knew week one was too good to be true, and I was right. Week two happened. In fact, let me just say, I got beat on a head-to-head because there was a scoring error, and the other team noticed it. And so when you thought you won, and then, no, they punch you in the gut and say, no, you lose by two. So there you have it.
Oh, that's rough.
I hate when that happens.
What?
Well, don't even talk about that. I had Foster, this crap where they keep calling him down at the half-yard line, and then somebody else scores anyway. Let's get into fantasy football talk here with Luke. A lot of injuries to the running back position. Some deep leagues, there aren't those guys out there that everybody's talking about. If you're in an 8 or a 10-team league, maybe they are out there. Just blanket question here, Luke. Overall assessment with the running back situation and the guys that may be available out there to go get?
Yeah, I mean, it's depth charts are looking decimated compared to what you might have expected going into week three. I mean, you know, on top of all the injuries, you've got starting backs that are now suspended. So, you know, guys that you definitely want to try to get, obviously, Nile Davis, probably the biggest waiver claim this week. And I also really like Donald Brown. You know, both guys have had success when they've had opportunities to play. You know, Brown actually led the league last year in yards per carry after contact, you know, with 3.3, which is a huge number. So I expect him to have a good amount of success for the Chargers and has a pretty nice matchup this weekend. You know, with Mark Ingram going down, I expect to see a lot of Kerry Robinson this week. You know, in a game that could be a blowout, we saw Stephen Ridley run all over Minnesota, top 100 yards and get in the end zone. So wouldn't be surprised to see Robinson match that. And, you know, all over the league, there's just a lot of shakeup. You know, now we're hearing reports that Doug Martin might not even return tonight. You know, Bobby Rainey had a huge game last week with over 170 total yards against the Rams. So he's kind of a must-start given how bad that Falcons defense is if Martin is out again.
That is so, that's so tough, too, because you got to be right on top of it until about 5 minutes before game time tonight sometimes to find out who's going on this Thursday night. Well, let's dive into the questions, Luke, because we got a few for you. Let's start at running back. Nate in Minden says, I'm going with C.J. Spiller. Should I start Stephen Ridley or Fred Jackson with him?
I would give Ridley the nod because I expect you know, that to be another blowout for the Patriots, you know, just like they did against Minnesota last week. Ridley saw 25 carries, and the Raiders are the dead last in run defense, giving up 200 yards a game.
At the tight end position, Greg Olsen or Niles Paul, former Husker?
You know, it's a little bit of a tough call given how good Paul has been through the first couple weeks. Seems to have a chemistry as well with Kirk Cousins. But all that said, you know, Greg Olsen's going to be really consistent, and the Eagles have been very good defending the tight end position. They've got some really athletic linebackers. you know, Michael Kendricks might be out, so that could shake things up. But I'd give an edge to Olsen.
This comes from Terry in Eustis. And I chuckle because, you know, overreaction. But he goes, should I get rid of Jamal Charles and Brady? They haven't done anything the first 2 weeks. What do you do? What do you do? Do you go to your backups? What do you do there?
Well, you know what? I certainly could condone benching Tom Brady at this point. There's some other good quarterbacks, you know, that could be, you know, out there as far as reserve. Maybe not on the waiver wire, but I'm assuming he's got someone to back him up. And I don't expect Brady to do a lot again this week. You know, he only threw the ball 21 times against Minnesota, given how lopsided the score was, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the same. You know, you can't drop a guy like Jamal Charles, though. It's a high ankle sprain. He could miss 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks, who knows. But I think he'll be back sooner than maybe we expect, and he'll get going. You know, he's still one of the best talents in football.
Luke, I've had a lot of people ask me about Kirk Cousins, and I said, I don't know, I'll ask Luke.
You know, I think, you know, it's a bit of a long shot to say this just yet, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if Kirk Cousins was the Nick Foles of this season. I think the ability's there. He doesn't have the deep ball that Foles does, and the system isn't really quite set up the same way. But Jay Gruden's, you know, quarterback-friendly coach, you know, he got Andy Dalton to throw 33 touchdowns last season, be among the best fantasy quarterbacks. You know, certainly he doesn't have A.J. Green, but Pierre Garçon's no slouch, and Deshaun Jackson's, you know, big play waiting to happen. He's got quality tight ends. If Jordan Reed gets healthy, now Niles Paul's also emerged. So there's definitely a lot of weapons there. They also have a good ground game as well that'll set Cousins up with some red zone opportunities. So I like his upside a lot. You know, it's also not an especially tough division as far as defenses go. So a lot of, more upside, I think, more good than bad for Cousins.
Our friend Andy in Kearney, and we're with Luke Hoover of RotoWire and RotoWire.com. He wants to know if Roddy White's going to play tonight, and then there's a follow-up to that.
Well, you know, he could be one of those game-time decisions. I haven't seen a designation, you know, one way or the other, whether he'll be active. So that's another one, like just with Doug Martin, you're going to have to check right up till kickoff. And the latest thing I've seen is that he is expected to suit up, but you never know what happens in those pregame warm-ups, especially with this something as sensitive as a hamstring injury. So that's something you want to double-check. If he's out there, he probably should be in your lineup, though. Falcons really do have to throw the football.
Well, okay, here's his question then. He goes, if he does play, would any of these guys be a better flex play than Roddy White? Kerry Robinson, as you mentioned, Darren Sproles, Brandon Cooks, or Marcus Wheaton? He says his quarterback's Matt Ryan, LeSean McCoy is his running back. It's a non-PPR league, and again, that's Kerry Robinson, Darren Sproles, Brandon Cooks, Marcus Wheaton.
You know, actually, I would probably lean towards some of those other options. I tend to stay away from playing a guy that is banged up. You know, Roddy White's got enough talent that he can overcome that injury and have a good game, but you do run the risk of him, you know, sitting out plays or maybe missing an entire half or something like that. Darren Sproles looked like a beast this last week. You know, so certainly you could give him another go. He scored in each of the first 2 weeks, I believe. Good total yardage. Yeah, at the same time, though, I like Kerry Robinson a lot. So I would almost flip a coin between the two of them. I think Sproles, though, given his involvement in the offense, is probably a little safer.
I have to chuckle because, Luke, from time to time, I get questions for you on my personal cell phone. And, of course, there are always things added to the messages that I can't pass along over the air. But someday we'll have to do it off the air. And this is kind of I hope we'll cover two people here, and we already did touch on it. One of our tweets from Jason wants to know your thoughts on Doug Martin. And then Chris in Kearney has Doug Martin, so he wants to know your thoughts about what to do with Martin tonight. And he's got Ahmad Bradshaw, and I can't ever say his name right, but the running back from Minnesota, Matt Asaisha.
I think it's Asiata.
Asiata. Let's go with that.
It's a tough one. My thought for Devin Martin is you have to bench him tonight, even if he's active. They're going to split the workload up. You know, obviously, if they're thinking at this point that they might sit him and kind of test out that knee in pregame warmups, then he's definitely not 100%, so you can't give him a full workload. And frankly, he doesn't deserve it. Bobby Rainey's, you know, been terrific so far in the early goings. He did score even in week one on a catch against the Panthers. So, you know, at this point, Rainey's outplayed him so dramatically that he's, I would even expect if Martin plays, he's probably getting less touches than Rainey. And I have been thinking about that one a lot because I actually own him in just about every league. So it's hard to not be disappointed with Martin. And at this point, you have to play Ahmad Bradshaw. He's looked fantastic and is, you know, very involved in that offense. And it's an offense that's going to move the football. Got a great matchup against a pretty poor Jags defense that's not stopping the run at all. And I like, Asiata for Minnesota. Even though I think New Orleans blows them out, he caught the ball well last week and still was productive, over 80 total yards and a touchdown, despite Minnesota getting crushed. So both those guys are better options to me at this point.
Just the last minute here, if you've got a question, fire it off to us quickly here for Luke Hoover of RotoWire and RotoWire.com. That's why you go online to RotoWire.com. There for you every single day, all day long, with all of their great columnists and workers to keep you up to date on the injuries. Studs and duds, let's get this before we run out of time here, Luke. Who's the stud that doesn't have a good matchup let's say that. Who's going to be the dud, doesn't have a good matchup, and who's your stud to play this week?
Well, you know, as far as that said, I want no part of Monte Ball going into Seattle. I don't expect Denver to run it particularly well. He struggled in week one against Indy, and they don't even have a good run defense. So I think Seattle's going to be primed, especially after their embarrassing loss in San Diego. He's not your every week stud, but with Jamaal Charles out, you have to play Niall Davis going to Miami. They haven't been particularly good versus the run so far this year. And, you know, so far, dating back to last season, Charles has, you know, either sat out or come out early in three of the last four games. In all three of those games, Davis found himself in the end zone twice, you know, six total touchdowns, over 80 total yards in each of them as well. So I love his upside this week.
Well, there you go, folks. Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Any of these, I was surprised because I saw Ryan Matthews, who I thought was definitely out, listed as questionable this morning. Are any of these questionables definitely not going to see action of the studs this weekend?
You know, you kind of have to pay attention to how the teams list them, and that's just something to pay, you know, watch out for on Sundays. I'd be really surprised if Ryan Matthews were to suit up. Donald Brown, like we said before, is highly capable backup, and I expect him to get a pretty big workload. You know, the guys that really, I mean, even Mark Ingram, I'm sure he's out this week, but, you know, with the surgery that he had on his hand, they're saying he could be back much sooner than expected. So you'll probably see him questionable as early as next week. You know, he's not going to play most likely, though. These designations are kind of almost, it's like to create confusion. So I would pay more attention to those inactive Sunday. That's what you really want to watch out for.
All right, Luke, we'll let you get back to your day. We'll do it again next Thursday. Thanks for helping out the listeners, and appreciate it.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you.
Luke Hoover, RotoWire, RotoWire.com. Our fantasy football report brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, your fantasy football headquarters, with dozens of high-definition televisions, their giant HD projection TV, and it's always interesting to see which sets of fans wins the debate to get their game on the big screen projection TV. Free Wi-Fi so you can follow your fantasy football teams. Every NFL game is on at least one TV. And don't forget, during NFL Sundays, register to win Nebraska-Minnesota tickets only from Cunningham's. We're expecting George Sedano of ESPN to join us right after he's done with his TV here at the top of the hour with Numbers Never Lie. If not, we will hear part of the Dick Vitale speech. So stay with us. The Doug and Daddy Show with Monty Kratzenstein as my co-host continues.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Did you just chug that entire 20-ounce pop?
Yeah, I needed energy.
You'll need energy to run the 2.5 miles it takes to burn those calories.
2.5 miles? From one pop?
Drinking only 6 pops a month could add 5 pounds of fat in a year.
Wow. So if I drank one a day, that's like 25 pounds a year.
You better get running.
Maybe I'll just rethink my drink and choose water.
Water's a great choice. Visit ActivateBuffaloCounty.com for more info on rethinking your drink.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Kelly Tucker has worked at Anderson Brothers for over 30 years. He encouraged his kids to check out college and something else.
Come see us. We'll train you. That's what we've been good at doing. I've always said that Anderson Brothers is more like a college. And that's why I call it Anderson Brothers College, because we do train a lot of people. And they can take that anywhere they go. And there's good wages. There really are. You got to work for it, but there's good wages.
Check out the career options at Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
Ian Eagle here with a preview of Thursday night football. Join Mike Mayock and me from the Georgia Dome as the Atlanta Falcons take on division rival Tampa Bay. Can new head coach Lovie Smith's revamped Bucs defense slow down Matt Ryan and the Falcons' potent offense? We'll find out on Thursday night football. Hear the NFL all season long on Westwood One.
Buccaneers at Falcons, Thursday night at 7:30 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
So will Jameis Winston also be suspended from the baseball team? Just wondered. Two totally separate things. Doug Dudamani Kratzenstein with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Team Jack Radiothon on the Breeze 94.5 FM. Monty, I know you need to get going because you actually have a real job. Thoughts. I want to give our Midtown Mark Cooler question and let you run from there. We asked you yesterday which Derek Jeter retirement gift was the coolest. 38% went with the Cubs, the number two scoreboard piece from Wrigley Field. The Royals got some hometown votes for donating $10,000 to his foundation. 12% Astros, Angels, Yankees, and so on and so forth. Our vote today, as it is every Thursday, how will the Huskers do? And we also put the line up there. We got the line at 7.5. How will Nebraska do against Miami of Florida? Win and cover, win but not cover, or lose outright? Vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. I'm going to go win and cover. My prediction will say that tomorrow. I think it won't be a monster cover. It might be 9-10 points, but that's kind of how I'm feeling right now. Monty, your thoughts?
Can we look into the crystal ball and see how many turnovers there are first?
Straight up ball game. Turnovers are even. Turnovers are even.
Turnovers are even. We win and don't cover. Those turnovers. And I hate finding some wood to knock on. We've been so good this year so far from the offensive side. So bad. Why can't we get turnovers? Is that, and that's a hypothetical question because I don't know the answer to that, because I know coaches, I've heard coaches in clinics forever talking about preaching. I know they preach it, they talk it, they drill it, getting turnovers. We just don't get turnovers, and I don't know why that is. You know, is it luck? Is it something else? I don't know, but we need some takeaways in the future.
Well, and then it's homecoming next week with the alternate uniforms for Illinois. I know you're fired up about that.
About homecoming is great, guys. I love homecoming. Isn't that great? Love going to homecoming.
Yeah, you do. Get on a float. And then a couple of weeks, and the next big game, Michigan State. Again, our Husker lunch every Wednesday at Cunningham's. Sean Callahan will be on hand. Monty, I'll let you get going. Always appreciate the time.
Love being here.
We're going to hang for just a minute here. As we said, we are expecting, we had to reschedule George Sedano from ESPN National Radio. We're hoping to hear from him here in the next couple of minutes. In the meantime, it's Team Jack Radiothon. One of the interviews they did was with Dick Vitale, and here's a little bit of what Dick had to say today.
Well, no problem. I really, an honor that he would ask me to be part of it, because Jack's some story, man. Unbelievable. I spoke to his dad, Andy, recently, and didn't like the news that his cancer came back, and he's doing well with his treatment right now. But It's a vicious disease, and no child should be having to do chemo and radiation. They should be out there playing in Lincoln in that area of Nebraska, following the Huskers and really being out there enjoying life. It's a nightmare for a mom, a dad, a family. We have a gala every year. My gala last year, Jack was a big hit. He came along with Coach Bo Bellini. They were here along with Andy, the dad, and they were a major hit in front of a sellout crowd of over 800 people, and we raised $2.7 million in one night. So we were really, really thrilled and pleased with the dollars.
Tell us about the gala, because I know it's a yearly thing with the V Foundation. What is that event like every year?
Well, it's the Dick Vitale Gala. What we do, we started years ago. What got me really rolling with the gala, a neighbor of mine, a beautiful little girl named Peyton, came down with cancer, brain cancer, and ultimately we watched little Peyton go from a girl that was enjoying life like any other child, and one day had a pain in her knee. And that pain in the knee ultimately became a tumor on the spine. That tumor became ultimately traveled and metastasized, and she had brain cancer. She ultimately lost her vision. She became paralyzed, and we saw her lose her life, and we went to the funeral. And I vowed after that funeral, I went up to the mom and dad. I was really emotional about it with my wife and I, my daughters, my family. We're all touched by the story. And I went up there, mom and dad, and I said, look, Holly, look, Patrick, we cannot save little Peyton, but we can help other kids. And I promise I'll get my buddies together, and we will have a big, big event, and we're going to raise $1 million in the name of Peyton and help other kids at All Children's Hospital, where she was treated, and they do a magnificent job. But we did it, and we've continued ever since, and we've raised the stakes now that our goal now is $2 million per gala, and we honor different celebrities. We've honored stars, you name them, from Mike Krzyzewski to Bob Knight to Pat Summitt to, we had Tom Izzo. We've had people like with us, Magic Johnson's been with us, Kenny Chesney, Pat Riley. We've honored some really major, big-time people and have had some phenomenal guests, as I just mentioned, but we raise a lot of money, and we're going to have another real, real phenomenal event, and our goal is to raise $2 million for kids like Jack who are battling cancer.
Yeah, you've got a chance to interact, Dick, with you know, the high profile basketball coaches, players, celebrities, like you were talking about. But you had some time, I know, to meet with Andy and Jack, and I know you spent time with other kids. You talked about that firsthand experience. What does that time when you're with these kids, talking to them, interact with them? How has that affected you?
Well, you know, it's affected me a great deal. I mean, if people go to my website, they'll see pictures of kids there. If you hit the gala, kids who are cancer survivors and some kids who were not as fortunate. I was just with a former NFL football player, David Boss, played for the New York Giants for 3 years, the 49ers for six, and David lives in our area, and he was with his beautiful, healthy little girl today at breakfast, and we were talking, and I said, David, what crushes me? Take a look at this flyer. And I showed him a flyer, which is also on my website if people want to see it. And there's 10 beautiful youngsters, 10 of them, who are with us at my gala over the last 9 years, and all 10 have lost their life to cancer. Yeah. And it just tears my heart out. I only wish we didn't have to have a flyer like that. But the names don't mean much to people out there, but they mean a great deal to me because I got to know their families. I've spoken at funerals for some of these kids. I mean, kids like Eddie Livingston, 5 years old, Lacey Holsworth, 8 years old. I could go on and on. Dylan Simmons, whose dad told me he died in April. And he was so happy when he was at my gallery a year ago. His cancer was in remission. He was going to get back playing sports again. He met all the celebrities. He was really feeling great. And then all of a sudden, bam, came back, and he lost his life. And at the end, he was fighting so hard to try and just stay alive that his mom and dad called him and they said, Dylan, you're going to go to a better place now. Just relax. Just take life easy. Relax. And he looked at his parents, and I can't even imagine. The father broke in tears, and I did, when he told me the story. He said, Dylan, said, but Dad, I don't want to go. I don't want to stay here. And think about that. Just think about that. I've been blessed. I got five people ask me, why am I so obsessed? I got five grandchildren that are healthy, that are playing baseball and tennis and competing and going to school like normal kids. I know what it would do to me. And I want to get more money because this one blows my mind as well. Only 4% of every dollar raised for cancer research goes to pediatrics. It goes, yes, I can understand it. It goes for cancers such as like prostate and colon and breast, and that's cool and that's great. But come on now, kids. These are kids, our future. These are families that have to live this day in and day out. As one dad told me, every day your child gets a cold, a fever, a headache. What's the first thought in your mind? Did the cancer come back? So I beg all you people in Nebraska, all you really good, hard-nosed, blue-collar people, I beg you, any dollar you could call up here on this telethon, you may be ultimately helping someone you love.
Dick Vitale with us here on the Team Jack Radiothon today. We can absolutely hear the passion in your voice, Dick. But when you, with the gala, with everything that the V Foundation has done over the years, there are so many organizations out there. How much good do you see those organizations doing as you talk about all childhood cancers?
Well, absolutely. It's phenomenal. It's very positive. Zeroing in, we have research grants from my gala that go for specific forms of cancer in memory of a lot of the youngsters, like Lacey Holsworth, for example, was neuroblastoma. And what we did from my gala, we had a mom and dad there. Again, couldn't save her life, but we could help other kids that are battling that disease. So what we did was we gave a research grant of $250,000 in Lacey's name to help other kids at hospitals throughout this country. So again, through the V Foundation, my zero in terms of I will not take anything except money for kids. That's what I deal with. But we have at the V Foundation, they deal with all kinds of cancer for adults, for kids. But mine is definitely focused on pediatrics. I told them when I got involved, I will, to my last breath, Thursday night, I'm going to be speaking in front of a group of some unbelievable successful people. The DeBartolos, who used to own the 49ers, CEOs of major corporations up in Tampa. The event's been sold out. It's a Pediatric Cancer Foundation. They're honoring me, and I'm so just blessed and thrilled that they would pick me for this, but I'm getting the Heart of Gold Award, and I will address that group as we will have cancer young kids with us, Tony Colton and Kyle Peters, who I saw. I looked at the itinerary. They were on the program. I know these kids. They've been at my gala. Mm-hmm. Kyle Peters is a great story. Think about this. He had brain cancer. Was playing Little League. Had a headache. The headache became a tumor. The tumor became brain cancer. Well, he was down, did his chemo, his radiation. He was at All Children's Hospital. And because his mother tells, I've read it in the paper, his mom told the media, she said, because of the $1 million and because of the research grant, Peyton Wright's name for brain cancer, because of that research grant, my son is now cancer-free and is back playing sports, going to school, living a normal life. If it wasn't, she said, the research that was done specifically for brain cancer through the Peyton Wright, which the young girl I told you about earlier who lost her life several years ago. And it's unbelievable. So, again, it does work. Kyle Peters is a perfect example that it does work.
That is Dick Vitale here on the Doug and Daddy Show as part of the Team Jack Radiothon that is continuing on our sister station, The Breeze 94.5 FM. And that's what he had to say to the folks today. They've got Rex Burkhead and Indomitian Sue and Danny Woodhead and so many more folks that are part of the day today. And 855 Team Jack, check that out. But right now we are pleased to welcome into the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio from the national Sedano and Stink Show. And we just watched him. Just watched him on TV. Numbers never live. Now he's back in his office taking the makeup off. It's George Sedano. George, thanks for the time. How are you, man?
I'm great, man. Yeah, makeup is off. The suit and I didn't wear a tie because I hate wearing ties. That's off too, and I'm just in a t-shirt and jeans again.
Well, let me throw you a curveball because here in the state of Nebraska, obviously everybody is familiar with Jack Hoffman and the ESPY Award that he won, and today they're having the second annual Team Jack Radiothon to raise money for pediatric brain cancer, and obviously there at ESPN, the news story with that is Devin Stills with the Cincinnati Bengals, and I know Coach Payton was on this morning Morning with Mike and Mike, and it's a story that's really taken things over. And I just wonder, with the things that are going on with the Jimmy V Foundation, I know ESPN can get pulled in a lot of ways, and so can everybody else that is in the public eye here. Just your thoughts on what you've seen from the stills, and when you hear Jack Hoffman or saw that run, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, obviously, you know, cancer is something that is something that a lot of us have dealt with over the years in one way, shape, or form. I think at this point, everyone knows someone who's been stricken by cancer. And, you know, when it happens to a child, in the case of Jack Hoffman, like you sit there and you say to yourself, good Lord. Like, I mean, there's so many. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say it's ever good for anyone, obviously, to be stricken with any sort of disease. But when it's a child, it just makes you sit there and recoil and say, you know, this person hasn't even started their life yet. Like, that's where it kind of sits with me. And it's something that I'm so proud of, the way we handle the Jimmy V Foundation here. And we have our Jimmy V Day on ESPN Radio, and it's televised on ESPN and ESPN News and the different platforms, and, of course, online and digitally. And it's one of the things that in my short time here that I've noticed is something everyone gets behind. It's because, again, everyone has had someone or knows someone that's been stricken by this awful, awful disease. So, yeah, it's a touching moment, you know, certainly when you look at Devin Stills and everything that's going on, and obviously Sean Payton buying all those jerseys. Our own guy, Scott Van Pelt, bought a ton of jerseys, too, from the Cincinnati Bengals team store, and he had them donated to, you know, kids in the area, the Boys and Girls Club, and the different charities in the Cincinnati area. So it's something that, you know, as much as goes on in sports that's negative, I think at times we need to make sure we highlight the positives and things and situations where I think we can all help and we can all certainly relate.
George Sedano, host of Sedano and Stink, weeknights here on ESPN Radio, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. And this was supposed to be a fun, kind of lighthearted segment here, so we'll switch gears and get back to Team Jack throughout the day after the Doug and Daddy Show. Didn't get to obviously hear Numbers Never Lie this morning because you were going on against us, and I'm sure our ratings were bigger, George, but, you know, whatever.
I'm sure they were.
There is not a lack of things to talk about, and most of them aren't good. Give me something good in the world of sports that there is to talk about. Here, we kind of lean back on our local high school type of stuff and collegiate things, and a national thing, we can root for the Royals. But what's something positive right now in the world of sports?
Look, there's a story about an ex-Raven. I'm going to butcher his name because I don't know how to pronounce it properly, but Maikai Kimoyatu. He played for the Ravens. His brother, Chris Kimoyatu, played for the Pittsburgh Steelers for a long time. And Maikai is he played nose tackle for the Ravens from I think it was 2002 to 2012, which is a couple of years ago. He retired, and obviously his brother played for the Steelers, as I mentioned, and he donated a kidney to his brother. His brother was eventually going, he needed a transplant. He needed a kidney. He was having issues with his kidney, with his kidneys, and his brother came up big. And that, to me, is certainly a heartwarming story. I mean, who wouldn't do something like that for their brother, you know? So there's something positive in sports today.
Good. A couple of positive things to talk about there. But Miami coming to Lincoln. I know Nebraska fans have been waiting for this after all the trips down to the Orange Bowl. I mean, let's face it, when this came up on the schedule, whatever it was, 8, 6, 8, 10 years ago, the party was on. And I know you're a little bit younger than I am, so the first recollection of Nebraska-Miami to you, was it the failed two-point conversion on
our
end?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was 6 years old. I can remember it vividly. It's one of my first real sports memories. So I absolutely remember watching that game and sitting there with my dad, and we were going nuts when the game was going on, and obviously with the ending. And it was the first championship that really just kind of set things off for Miami for a stretch of almost 20 years, where they played in 8 national championship games in 20-some-odd years. So, yeah, I mean, I remember all those games vividly. I remember playing them again in the Orange Bowl years later. You know, I remember all the games that these two teams has played, even the most recent game or that they played in a bowl game, which was the Rose Bowl game, certainly. But and I'm sure Nebraska fans don't want to remember that, because I think it was 34-0 at the half in that particular contest. But this is not that Miami team, you know. And I really wish for the college football fan, I bet you, you know, everyone associated with college football would have loved for Miami to be back already, but Al Golden's obviously dealt with a tough hand here over the last couple of years with all the stuff that went on with the Nevin Shapiro case and that scandal and whatnot, stuff that he had nothing to do with, and he kind of just stepped right into it. As much as Miami may not be back, I still think that this could be a competitive game because I think the Cornhuskers are still kind of trying to find their footing here as well, even though they had a big blowout win against Fresno State.
Obviously, from a Nebraska perspective, Miami is about as opposite as you could be during the heydays, and obviously the 30 for 30, for those that weren't familiar or were younger, panned that out. As a Miami fan, is everything accurate? Was it okay to be a fan of Miami with the cocky, brash, winning attitude?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, they literally brought the city together. That wasn't a joke when they said that, you know, in that video or in that movie, because you know, at the time in Miami, there was a lot of racial tensions, if you remember watching that film, and the communities were split, you know, the different communities, the Hispanic community, the African-American community, the white community, and the one thing that kind of brought it all together and everyone was able to kind of, you know, coexist was that team. I mean, look, the Dolphins were really good back then, too. They had Dan Marino, and they had gone to a Super Bowl, and they were always deep in the playoffs, but as they said in that film, those guys weren't from Miami. I mean, they represented the city of Miami, whereas the University of Miami kids at that time, they were from Miami, representing Miami, and it was Miami against the world, really, at that time, especially the way that they came out and, you know, and they had their swagger going. So it's funny because the city of Miami got a chance to kind of relive that a little bit to some extent when LeBron was here for those 4 years, especially early on. But nothing like the University of Miami when they were in their heyday. It's really not comparable to anything I've ever seen.
And what did Miami fans think of Nebraska?
Oh, well, I mean, look, there were certain teams that you just hated, right? If you were a Miami fan growing up in the 80s and 90s, I mean, you hated Notre Dame. No offense, Nebraska fan, that's kind of where it starts. And then after that, you know, it's Nebraska, Oklahoma, you can kind of flip-flop those two. That would be from their teams that are outside of the state of Florida. Then obviously Florida State, I think there's more of a respect there, I think, with Florida State, even though there can be some hatred that boils over from time to time. But really the team that Miami hates, Florida, are the Gators, and simply because the Gators took them off the schedule. And then they put them back on for a couple years, and then immediately after the Tebow years, they took them off the schedule again. So I would say Nebraska's in the top five. How about that? They're definitely in the top five as far as teams that Miami fans aren't very fond of, just because of the games that they play and such great games that the two teams played over the years.
Meaningful national championship type football game. Just another minute here with George Sedano, Sedano and Stink, National Radio here on ESPN Radio, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. How hard, and I don't think you have a factual answer, I guess I'm looking for your opinion. It was Miami, then it was Florida, now it's Florida State. How hard is it to be the top dog in the state, because you've got other teams like a Central Florida, a South Florida that have proven they can win football games, and what is it going to take for Miami to be the top dog again?
Oh, man. You know, it's going to take a little bit of ingenuity, I would say, thinking outside the box, and a little luck. I mean, that's the way it works sometimes. And you kind of need the perfect storm, no pun intended. Al Golden, though, I think has done a really good job considering everything that's gone on. And look, he's still dealing with stuff. I mean, every college coach is dealing with stuff. But the landscape has changed in college football. You know, kids back in the day were willing to sit, you know, at Nebraska or Miami or USC for a couple of years or Notre Dame and say, okay, I'll compete. Nowadays, kids' attitudes have changed. Like, they'll say, you know what, I want to go to Central Florida and play as a freshman. And they get the opportunity to do that. So the landscape has changed so much, and I think it's hurt some of the more traditional powers. And the one thing that I think people forget about Miami is that Miami isn't Florida State and Florida. Those two schools are public schools that are publicly funded and have large, large student bodies. Miami's a small private school with 10,000 undergrads, and I don't think people realize that. It's more of a grad school than anything else, and it just so happened to be on this fertile ground for high school football talent, you know, and they've got this fertile ground for recruiting. So I think that Al Golden could get this thing back on track, but it's going to take a while. And look, it took Butch Davis a long time to get that thing righted. I mean, he was there for six seasons, and they still hadn't won the national championship. I mean, they were one game away. They played in a BCS game at that time, and then Larry Coker won the year after. So, you know, this is his fourth year, Al Golden. I think that they're on the right track. I think their quarterback, Brad Kaya, this kid is going to be the real deal. They've got great talent at the receiver position. Just Duke Johnson to me is potentially a Heisman Trophy candidate. He's one of the best running backs in football, certainly with Amir Abdullah. I think that, you know, he's just as good as anyone, certainly, as well. Like, there's a lot of talent, I think, in this game. And I think it's going to be a fun game. Look, Nebraska probably should win this game just because I don't think Miami is necessarily ready. They're young at quarterback, and I think that's a problem, especially if you're going on the road. You know, you got 81,000 screaming Cornhusker fans at you, going at you. But I think it should be a fun game.
ESPN Radio's College Game Day, of course, will be in Lincoln all day on Saturday. They're here already getting ready for the weekend. Okay, George.
I'm disappointed that I couldn't make it out there. My
What's
schedule.
The deal?
Let me tell you something. I put it out on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. I was in for Cowherd one day, and I was talking about how I've always wanted to go there because I actually had a friend who's a UCLA grad, and they went there last year, and they said that the people there could not have been any nicer. Like, they had such a great time, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I got to experience this, but unfortunately the schedule just won't allow it. I've got so many things. I tried to see if I could just fly in like Saturday morning and then fly out Sunday, but I got too many things going on here, and I won't be able to pull it off. So I'm really disappointed.
I think they still consider you a rookie, so it must be hazing.
No, it's none of that. It's really none of that. Like, the game day guys were like, come out and hang out with us. And I was like, you know, and I just couldn't pull it off. Just, I've got personal stuff. You know, I got a wife and kid now, so I got things to worry about at home. You know, it's not as easy. Even when I didn't have a kid, it was just easy. I could just tell my wife, hey, honey, I'm just going to go watch a football game. I'll be back tomorrow, you know, and deal with it. But now that there's a child at play, I think it makes life a little more difficult.
Got to tell me, growing up, we all had somebody favorite. Your favorite Miami Hurricane player was?
Oh, my God, that's such a hard question. You're talking about so many great players. I will say this, of all the great players, and people may be surprised about this because there's obviously a number of guys from Miami that have gone on to Hall of Fame careers in the NFL, and they have a gazillion first-round picks that have come out of there. But my guy, to this day, through and through, Ken Dorsey. And I'll tell you why, because I covered him. Right out of college, I mean, graduated college in 99. So one of my first jobs was covering that team. So I saw that team in 2000, you know, lose to Washington and then, you know, get to the Sugar Bowl and beat Florida. And then the following year when they won the national championship, I was still covering them. And then I saw, you know, I covered them when they lost against Ohio State. So I think it's because, you know, I was there every day and he was just such a good dude and so easy to deal with and just a pro's pro. At that position, he knew how to handle the media. The guys that he played with loved him and still love him. They still talk about it. They always joke that he's a better athlete than people think because obviously there were a ton of great athletes on that team. They used to talk about how Dorsey used to be mean on the basketball courts and elbow guys and do stuff like that. I just couldn't see it. But yeah, he's one of the brightest guys I've ever met. I mean, him and John Vilma, to be quite honest, are probably the two smartest players I've ever covered at the University of Miami. Jonathan Vilma, who played for the New Orleans Saints and won a Super Bowl for many years. Him and Dorsey, the two brightest guys I ever covered. But I'd give the edge to Dorsey, maybe because Dorsey just gave me a little more, a few more opportunities to interview him when I was there. And he's doing a great job now. I know he's in the NFL these days, and he's coaching, going up the coaching ranks. So he's my guy through and through. It would be Ken Dorsey. But, God, I could give you a number of guys. Clinton Portis was great, too, and I loved him. I still love him. I talk to him every once in a while. But, yeah, so many guys. But I'm going with Dorsey. He's still my guy.
George Sedano, host of the Sedano and Stink. It's every weeknight here on ESPN Radio. So last question, totally off topic. It's Seattle-Denver week. And I know you guys aren't always right across the desk from each other, but odds that you would wear a Richard Sherman jersey while Schlereth was right across the desk from you this week?
Oh, I'd do it. Schlereth is a teddy bear. People think Schlereth is this mean dude. Like, he's not at all. And we were actually, it's funny, we were talking about this on the show the other day. Because I said, and he's like, what does everybody think I mean? I said, well, first of all, you played in the NFL. You still weigh like 250 or 60 pounds. You're a pretty big, intimidating dude. And you kind of walk around with a scowl, you know? Like, and maybe that's just from your days of playing in the NFL, or maybe that's just the way your face contorts. But you need to smile more. You got pearly whites that are nice. Let people see you smile more, and they won't think you're such a big meanie. But, yeah, he's fine. Like, I love him. He is literally, I mean, when you do a show with someone else and you know this doing radio, it's like a marriage. So you have to be able to get along. If not, you're in for a rocky ride. And he is awesome. Like, he's fantastic. So I don't think he'd I think he'd look at me cross-eyed for a second, but, you know, he'd giggle and laugh about it afterwards.
Well, George, thanks for moving your schedule around and fitting us in today here on the Doug and Daddy Show in Nebraska. And we look forward to a great game on Saturday. Keep up the good work.
Anytime, man. Anytime. Take care.
Take care. George Sedano, Sedano and Stink, weeknights here at 6 Central on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Of course, Miami through and through. Had to do some rescheduling today, working around his schedule, but it worked out well. We got a lot in. Dick Vitale talking with the folks with the Team Jack Foundation, and the Team Jack Radiothon continues until 6 o'clock throughout the state of Nebraska. Just about anywhere you drive today, you'll probably find a station that has it on. If you are here in our listening area, we invite you and ask you to join us on 94.5 FM, The Breeze, 94.5 FM for all the great interviews and news and info and the fight against pediatric brain cancer. We thank Jack Hoffman's dad, Andy, for joining us on the program today. Also want to thank Luke Hoover from RotoWire for joining us, and of course Monty Kratzenstein, former Husker, for giving us some time earlier in the show as well. Tomorrow, Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity. He has all the history on Nebraska-Miami. He'll be joining us. Drew Ott, defensive end, Iowa, out of Giltner. He will join us on the program tomorrow as well. We will have, of course, our Pigskin Pick. Jimmy will have his selections. It's all part of the Friday Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks for staying with us here on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.